Well, hallelujah. Give the battle to God. Quit trying to fight it on your own. You can't win it. I'm not saying that you can't fight. I'm saying you can't win it. Literally, the cards are stacked against you. You need God. And let me tell you something. When God is on your side, there is no power from hell that can stand against you. They can come at you, and they're going to. But they can't stand. Well, praise God. Well, happy Mother's Day, ladies. All you mamas, it's good to see you out here today. I have a couple real quick announcements. Today is Building Fund Offering Day. Also, please note that the nursery caregiver meeting has been moved to Sunday, May 22nd at 9:30 a.m. If you're a married teen with children, only one of you need to attend the meeting so the other can take care of your children. P.S., if you haven't given Michelle, beautiful young lady behind me, your updated background check permission form, please give it to her by 5/22/22. Thank you. So praise God. Well, it is such a great time to be up here today. Do we want to do this first? We really didn't discuss a whole lot. Well, no. We'll just tell them. We're going to give you a flower. But so you don't have to sit there and fiddle with it during service, you can come back up later and get it. But we would like you, if you're a mama, come on up. Grandmama, mama, whether you attend here or not, come on up. This is Mother's Day. This isn't select Mother's Day. What we have here, now, for those of you that may question what we believe in the sanctity of human life. So in other words, abortion is not an option. And if you think it is, I'm so sorry for you that you think that it's okay to kill somebody, especially when they're supposed to be protected. But, and around here, you know, the rose is a token. But what we did is, there are people that are fighting right now to preserve laws. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start right here, and if you'll take one and pass it down. That way, I can talk. I like to talk. But anyhow, what we've done is we have donated $300 to the ACLJ. Not the ACLU, but the J. These are the good guys. They are actually fighting to protect the unborn. And so what this has done is, this is a real gift. This is fighting for the babies that can't speak for themselves. The rose, like I said, you can come up later after service and get one. And I tell you what, we have quite the plethora of mamas up here. I mean, we could almost have two rows. So, is there? I think. Did you get an extra something? All right. So if you got this, she has no idea. It just got stuck in there. I'll take that off of you. No, I got a feeling this was something from yesterday. We will give her mercy because she put a lot into things. So if y'all don't get it, she's the one that takes care of the gifts and stuff and the flowers. And we were looking for flowers the other night. It's like, no, those are just half dead already. If y'all ain't figured it out, man, by the time the holiday comes around, flowers are half dead because they cut them 2 weeks ago. But what I would like to do is I would like to pray for you today because, you know, one, being a mother is being attacked. Being a woman is being attacked. Okay? I saw something, you've probably all seen it before too. What state of society is it when the woman of the year is a man? Biologically. Okay, you can do what you want to the outside. Inside, it's still a dude. DNA will prove in 500 years when they dig his body up, that's a dude. There's differences if y'all ain't figured them out. If we need a biology class, we have two science teachers here who can take you through this. We got nurses here who can take you through this. There's a huge difference. But anyhow, I want to pray over you today. And again, thank you for what you do, because, you know, being a mother, we always joke about the pain of childbirth, and that if it were up to men, after the first one, there'd be no more. So, y'all, some of you have given birth to several children, and so we appreciate that. So I'm going to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for each and every one of these ladies. Father, I bless them. Father, I know we have great-grandmothers here. We have grandmothers. We have mothers. We have mothers with children raised and mothers with new children, Lord. I bless them today, Father. I pray that you give them wisdom, give them strength, give them peace of mind in a time that is tumultuous, Lord. I pray right now blessing over them, Father. I thank you for each and every one of them. And I pray, Lord God, that you move in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ladies, like I said, you can come back up and get a flower, and we're going to bless the tithe and offering here in a minute, as soon as, but, go ahead. Yeah, you can get it now if you want. Oh, gotcha. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, let's bless the tithe and offering now, and then we will dismiss the super kid, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for your blessings in our lives. Father, I thank you, first off, that we were able to sow into the ACLJ to stand for the voice of the unborn. Lord, we do this through your blessing, and this is one way you have blessed us, Lord. We thank you for it. Father, I present it to you as precious and holy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and no super kids are dismissed. The reason you are all mothers. I'm going to set this. What Joe didn't tell y'all up here on the front row is I spit. No, just kidding. I don't preach from up there, though. I do preach from down here because I like to move. So for the last several weeks, the Lord has, I have a mix on my Pandora station, and it brings up some songs that are new, and then it'll bring up some older songs. And there's this one particular song that I remember from the mid-80s. It was by a guy named Russ Taff. Now, if you've been around for a while in the body of Christ, you may know the name. And if you've really been around, you know the name of the Imperials. They were a Christian group way back in the 70s, and they did a song called I Listen to the Trumpet of Jesus, When the World Hears a Different Sound. But he left and went on his own, and he wanted a little more progressive sound. But one of the albums he released was called Metals. And on that album, there was a song called Not Gonna Bow. And it just keeps showing up, and I keep listening to it. I mean, I knew the song, heart, words, I knew everything. And I just listened to it, and, you know, and God said, you're going to be preaching about this very soon. And so keep listening. And as I listened to it, I knew, you know, last week I knew, all right, I'm coming into a new message God wants me to do. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, is this where it's going to end? He's like, nope. And he started showing me things this week, you know, through Angela and stuff. Okay, you're going to follow this path. And, but the song called Not Gonna Bow is about idolatry. Now, if you don't know what idolatry is, it is putting anything, it's simple, plain English language, putting anything before God. Okay? And as I was listening to it, you know, there were some aspects of it. I was like, oh, wow, I never really thought about that. So as I guess we just need to, hopefully I've given Jason enough time. You ready to go? All right, Exodus chapter 20 and verses 3 through 6. God had given the children of Israel 10 commandments to follow. 10 easy commandments. That's it. These were super easy. Here's one of them. If the things are functioning right. Gotta love technology some days. Oh, there we are. You shall have no other gods before me. Is that real hard? No. When my wife and I married, I said, you shall have no other husbands before me. You shall have no other husbands. And she said, and you shall have no other wives. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. But yet it is so hard in people's minds. God said, you shall have no other gods before me. Next. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Keep that in mind. What happens when there's a jealous husband? Anybody know? Anybody watch Lifetime movies? It usually doesn't end well, right? I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, you need to understand this about God. You either love him or you hate him. There is no in between. There is no fence you're sitting on. You think you are, but the truth of the matter is you're on one side or the other. Next. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Well, Pastor, you know, you talk about being against legalism and all that. Oh, I'm totally against legalism. I'm totally against religion. I know that's surprising, because religion is actually legalism. You can't do this. Paul said, I can do anything I want. It's not all beneficial to me. Doesn't always work out to my good. It may not actually harm me, but my example might be harming my children or my grandchildren or somebody else. And then that's when Paul taught that if by our freedoms we cause somebody else to sin, it is now sin to us. I have a choice. If I really, really want to do, I could go out and beat the first person up on the street that I found. Is that going to be beneficial for me? Is it going to be beneficial for you? Anybody coming back next week if I do that? Probably not. And I wouldn't blame you. But God shows mercy to thousands of generations to those who love him and they keep his commandments. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do my commandments. You keep my commandments. So there was a song a couple years ago called I'm a Friend of God. Well, we all want to sing, I'm a friend of God, right? I'm a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be called his friend. But in the end, he said, if you keep my commandments. Now, there are two main commandments that do not even show up here because God had given them to him before these. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul. That means everything within you, man. Everything. With your actions, your thoughts, everything. You love God. You want the best for people. You love his people, which is the second one. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I have to love the people that may not be family. It's people that maybe they just sprayed Roundup all over my strawberries. I still got to love them. And trust me, that would be devastating. I like strawberries, especially fresh ones. I have to love them. Doesn't mean I can't say something to them, okay? Just so people know that. Oh, you mean I just got to roll over? Oh, no, I'm probably going to have words, but I need to be careful with my words that I do not harm them with them. Because trust me, I know how to harm people with words. We all know how to do that. Because all you got to do is open your mouth, right? As soon as you open your mouth, you get an argument, right? Boom! Where did that come from? You're like, I didn't mean that. Too late, because guess what? You can't take back. You can't take those words back. So God has said, do not have any gods before me. Make no images of anything. I don't have a cross. I mean, there's a few, I've been told. The sword looks like a cross. Not because I think it looks like a cross. I have the sword there because in Revelation it says the word came out of his mouth as a two-edged sword. That is a two-edged sword. The Bible calls the word of God a two-edged sword, cutting. Other than that, if God told me to get rid of it, I'd get rid of it. It's not an idol to me. I don't care about it. There are some people, oh, if you ain't got a cross on top of your church, are you really a church? I had one person said, where's your cross around your neck? You need your cross necklace. I'm like, why? I just put this back on the other day. And it's not because I'm ashamed of being married. It's because I do a lot with my hands and I get them caught in places. I don't like jewelry. So if you ever want to bless me with something, jewelry is not an option for me. I don't wear a watch. I've got them. Just not interested. But there are people that think that you have to have a cross on you. There are people that think that you got to have this. I don't really. Does anybody want to be represented by the electric chair? Anybody show of hands who thinks that your faith should be represented by an electric chair? Nobody. Why is our faith represented by an ancient form of execution? Well, it was the work on the cross, brother. Yeah, but it was the hole in the ground that was empty that redeemed you. The other was just an ends to a mean. Means to an end. I'll get there. Well, I think you're just being, and I think people are being ridiculous. We haven't even got to that side of idolatry yet. So, let's go to Daniel chapter 3, verses 1, and then 4 and 6. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Now, it was an image of gold. Doesn't really say that it was an image of him, okay? Whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't exactly a great king, but he was the king that God had used at that time. And he was obviously very prideful. God visited him and visited him and visited him and tried to get him to repent of his sin. But this one here, give you an idea, 60 cubits is 90 feet. This building, this end of the building, is 72 feet long outside to outside. It was 90 feet long and 9 feet wide. So it was about two feet more than what I can span out here. Okay? Long cylindrical thing. Did anybody think of what they might have been worshiping in ancient Babylon? Oh, by the way, we still have them today. We have one on the square. We have them in the cemeteries. We have one giant one in Washington, D.C. The Catholic Church has one in St. Peter's Basilica. They're obelisks. They're ancient worship, and just so you know, it is supposed to be a phallic symbol. I'm looking around. We're all adults. If you don't know what a phallic symbol is, ask any teenage boy something they may have drawn on something. Okay? It was sexually explicit. This is what they were to bow and worship. They were supposed to worship this thing. Got news for you. It ain't happening. Now, verse 8. I didn't read all 4 and 6. 4. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded. To you. Somebody got out there and said, you are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. This is the furnace that they used to dry their brick. It was a kiln. Giant kiln, because they had bigger bricks back then. And They were commanded. Here's what took place. I'm going to modernize this for you, okay? The president has become a dictator. Come out and said, Congress, Senate, Supreme Court, all you governors, all you county commissioners, all you township trustees, because that's who he brought out, you will bow down before this image or I will have you killed. I'm just telling it to you in modern time. You will do what I say and you will worship what I say you worship because I said it. Now, I don't know about you, but my American blood doesn't go that way. The second you start telling me I have to do something, I don't know if it's the Scottish or the Irish in me that rises up and says, I don't think so, or is it just the hillbilly in me, or is it just the flat out, or the Marine, or is it just the red-blooded American that says, you aren't going to tell me what I can worship, who I'm to worship, how I'm to worship. Whether we agree with the Founding Fathers or not, I don't have to question their faith. They've been dead for almost 200 years. Why are we still fighting? They did lay forth that everybody, brother, you can worship God how you believe. I can worship God how I believe. Now, I do say we need to make sure it's in concordance with the Bible. Kind of a good book to worship him with. We'll get there. But everybody bowed except three people. Can you imagine the entire government of the United States, federal and state, bowing down except somewhere in some country or state, there's three dudes standing. They said, we're not bowing. We won't bow to your idol. Now, verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. You know what these are? They're tattletales. We did it, but they didn't do it. Make them do it. It's not fair. They were looking for promotion. Well, we told. I told on Dave. Dave wouldn't do what the king said. I'm going to tell on Dave. Now, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury. Now, just so you know, we have had a dictator in recent modern times who was like this. He was about yay tall, had a little skinny mustache. This is what he was like. You didn't do what I said, I will kill you. You can ask historians. If people did not follow what Hitler said, he had them killed. And they feared the SS because the SS was blindly devoted to Hitler. And the regular army was a mix. And if you didn't like what he said, Hitler sent the SS to kill you. He came in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, Dave, if you're ready, I'm going to give you another chance at the time. I'm just going to use Dave. He's not an idol worshiper. At the time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. If you do what I say, Dave, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Arrogance. Remember, we just talked about pride. Pride leads to destruction and arrogance to the fall. Arrogance took him right over the top. Who's the God who's greater than me? Who's the God who's going to deliver you from me? Nobody can take you from me. I've got you. Verse 19. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Now, that takes some guts. You're the only three people. By the way, any other satraps, which is what they were, from Israel, had bowed. There was Daniel, there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was four who never bowed. Daniel was obviously not anywhere near the where he could get told on. Because the man who went and prayed despite. But anyhow. They said, we have no need to answer you. Next. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image you have set up. We won't bow. So it doesn't matter if you blow the horns again. We're not gonna bow. We're not giving in to what you want. Now, you can sit here and say, Pastor, it sounds like you're starting to talk about anti-government. Say, no, don't get yourself ahead of yourself. I am here to say, though, that if the government should ever say that I have to bow and worship the way they said, dude, no point in blowing the horn again. I'm right here. I'm not bowing. And I hope I'm not the only one standing there. All right, so now 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Can you imagine how ticked he was? I mean, we have seen the speeches Hitler gave when he was actually calm. And he just sounded like a madman. Can you imagine being behind the doors and he's mad at his generals? The foam at his mouth, at his eyeballs. I have seen a person so mad, the whites of their eyes were red. I thought they were going to have a stroke. But they were so furious. This is the degree he hit. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men who were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The flames coming out of the blast furnace killed them before they could actually get there. So you know what that meant? These three Hebrew children had to walk into the furnace by themselves. They willingly went. They were no longer held by anybody. They did it on their own power. Now, you can say, I'm looking back, you know, it might have been a time to take off running. Where are you going to run to? Somebody else somewhere is going to catch you and bring you back for a reward. All right, so next. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, hey, didn't we put three men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, folks, you need to understand something. If you think that there is no demonic powers, you're sorely missing, because how could a man know what the Son of God looked like? It was the demons inside that man that knew exactly who Jesus was. Now, imagine if you will, you are strolling around in a fiery furnace. You are in the flames. You are not burning. I got burnt the other day with my grill. And that wasn't nearly that hot. It was only about 300 degrees. I'm like, no hair growing on there for a while. This thing was 7 times hotter than they needed to cure brick. And they're walking around there. The ropes have fallen off. And they're walking around, and all of a sudden, there's the Son of God in His glory. And you're standing here talking face to face with Jesus before He became a baby. Before anybody else had ever used that last phrase, Son of God. This wasn't common. I see the Son of God walking there. Well, they call, Nebuchadnezzar calls him, hey, yo, y'all come on out of here. They came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. I can't start a fire out in my fire ring without smelling like I've been sitting in it. They were literally in it. And they came out and they didn't smell like it. Their clothes weren't singed. I remember when I was 9 years old, folks, I tried to light a fire. My neighbor and I, we were trying to light a fire in this little old wood stove in the chicken coop, in his daddy's barn, with his daddy's antique cars. We had straw. We stuffed that thing full of straw. We didn't have anything to get it to burn real good. Well, dummy here found some gasoline. I had no eyebrows. The hair on my forehead kind of shrunk. And my Mickey Mouse t-shirt got really starched. It was crisp. Because y'all know what happened with that gasoline when I threw it on that flame. I looked like all those cartoons. You know, they stick their head in a cannon or something. And my neighbor, he looked at me. Dude, man, what? I'm like, and I'm running outside. There was a mud hole, and I'm trying to wash all that stuff off of there. And he's like, man, your hair. Nobody ever asked. Surprising. I don't know. I mean, of course, it wasn't the first time I'd done something to my hair. That was a little shocking. The last one was just a couple years ago when I shaved it bald. that's what happens when you mess up your hair. Might as well keep going. So we see what God did. We see the example of these three wise men. These are what I call wise men. They knew to fear God over a man who is a tyrant. Now, let me take a drink. Worship. This is as in the book Doctrine by Mark Driscoll. This is what he describes worship. Worship is not merely an aspect of our being, but the essence of our being as God's image bearers. As a result, all life is ceaseless worship. Practically, this means that while worship does include corporate church meetings, singing songs, and liturgical forms, it is thought I'd be able to read my own writing. I was writing it so fast. But it's not defined by these things, defined solely as the things, because worship never stops. Rather, we are continually giving ourselves away or pouring ourselves out for a person, cause, experience, achievement, or status. We are constantly in a state of worship. I used to have this thing, I think we got it somewhere around the house, that talked about worship. Worship is not merely coming here and singing the song, raising your hands. Worship is living your life the way God has instructed you to live. And when I say instructed you to live, it means your calling. My calling is here. As a pastor, I'm not an evangelist. I know this. I tried it. Most miserable time of my life. It put being stuck in the jungles with no air conditioning. You know, you've got to worry about cobras sneaking in on you, geckos falling off the ceilings. Yeah, it wasn't exactly a great time. Spiders the size of my hand. Yeah, some of y'all just went, yep, nope, I'm out of here. Bats even bigger than that. If y'all remember the Wizard of Oz and the flying monkey scene, that's kind of what it looked like on guard duty. About dusk, sitting there thinking, I wonder how many I could shoot. Yeah. Sergeant of the guard already told me not to. Said, resist it. Don't do it. It's not worth getting in trouble. Anyhow, whatever dominates our affection is what we worship. What dominates your affection? That's what you'll start finding out is what you worship. It's where you're giving all of your life. There are three, this article that I was reading, this guy lists three categories, and I agree with him. There are three main categories of idolatry, and we're only going to do one today, okay? But that first one is paganism. You can say, well, Pastor, what exactly? Well, worshiping idols, bowing down to idols. Worshiping those things. Well, you know, I don't have any idols in my house. Well, okay, I'm glad to hear that. I'm really good. We're talking pagan idols. Not too long ago, and I'm going to tell on myself, and I hope my aunt never watches this episode. I was given a family heirloom. I remember it. It was a fork and spoon. It always hung in my grandma's dining room. Giant ones, you know, the big ugly ones. She gave them to me. I said, I remember those. And the only other thing that was beside there was the picture of the old man and the old woman praying. And my mom got those. But nobody wanted the fork and spoon. So they were in my aunt's barn, hidden away, and she's like, would you like those? I thought, well, I never got anything from her. So, yeah. We were coming home, and as soon as I touched them, I was like, something's wrong. We got home. Did I even discuss it on the way home, or did I discuss it at home? We got to looking, and on two of them on each end of all that carving, there were these little tiki gods. They're called tiki forks and spoons. And there's these tiny little tiki gods. They're idols. They're Hawaiian idols is what they are. No, bad things aren't going to happen to you like they did on the Brady Bunch. But this tiki god was on there. It is a real god. It is worshipped. And the more I thought, she's like, you want to hang them? I said, not really. And I didn't know what to do. I felt convicted because I'm like, those were my grandma's. I don't have anything from her. And I was like, no, let's just set them in the garage. One day I was in the garage cleaning up, and the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I saw them things. He said, what are you going to do with them? I said, I'm getting rid of them. They're in a landfill somewhere. They were family heirloom, okay? Now, granted, I think one of my uncles got it from my grandmother because one of them also bought her this giant Buddha. She was Presbyterian. She wasn't whatever they were trying to do to her. This was in the 70s when the Buddha, oh, yeah, peace, man, peace. Yeah, we'll get there. So, the first thing, and I'm going to make some enemies today, so just prepare. I'm going to tick some people off. I already know it. You're going to get so mad at me, you're going to want to confront me in the back, and I'm going to tell you don't. Because I'm here to tell you I'm trying to help you have God's blessing in your life.
But the devil has brought something into the church, and everybody's like, oh, it's so great. I just feel so much better. Yoga, folks. There, did I tick you off enough? Some of you that really like yoga? Oh, but Pastor, you know, you're just... Yeah, it's part of Hindu worship, people. Their gods take those forms. You are worshiping the god that is holding that pose. They have thousands and thousands of gods. They would rather starve their people thinking that cattle was my great aunt so-and-so instead of saying, there goes a T-bone steak. My child is starving. But yoga, in principle, is not about stretching. It's about you taking a pose of a false god. When I was in grade school, my parents, they were the caretakers at the Derrick Motel. Anybody remember when it was still the Derrick? They cleaned the rooms. And I'm going to tell you what, there's some nasty, nasty people in this world. I was 10. And I kept a better room than that. Them people are nasty. But the hotel has been owned since, I know, probably late 70s anyhow, by Hindus. And if you went in there, right behind their cash register, they had their one god. He was all blue, elephant and all that stuff with arms. And then you have the multi-breasted one, the multi-armed one. And then you had all their pictures of guys that they worshipped. Those pictures, remember what God said, create no image. These were men they worshipped as holy. And I'll never forget, and you can see it, but there's one God holding that pose. Well, you know, downward dog, it's a pose of submission, folks. Well, what about the warrior? Listen, I went through Marine boot camp. I went through Marine combat training, and I never seen anybody doing this garbage. There ain't no such thing as a warrior. If I want to stretch, I'm going to stretch. Now, we did planks in boot camp, never knew what they were. We called them watching TV. We'd sit there and had to hold it like in our dress uniforms, by the way, because we really made the drill instructor mad that day. And we're like this, toes and dress shoes and our elbows. We're watching TV, boys, you can't touch. Reach up and change the channels now. Well, nobody had clickers in. They still had the... So you had to balance yourself on one. Never knew what a plank was. Marine Corps went away from push-ups and they're doing planks now, or sit-ups and they're doing planks. Okay, I get it. As an exercise, that one actually does something. But some of these others, and Angela and I will tell you, we kind of started falling into what we saw. Well, so-and-so on TV does this. Huh? Yeah, we did it with P90X. Because the guy's like, oh, it's not about anything spiritual. It's absolutely about spirituality. Why do you think it's part of their worship? Some of y'all burning some of these nasty incense. That's part of their worship too. The Jews burned incense. But there's certain incense that gets burned that is part of the worship of demons. Like I said, I'm ticking some of you off. I can see your faces. Your jaws are clenched. I'm here to help you. Because you're wondering why the devil is kicking your butt from here to eternity. You're practicing worship to the demons that he has set up for you. Why does it seem like the world's always against me? Because you're the victim and not the victor. You're not in Christ. You're practicing a dead religion. You want to stretch? Go stretch. Don't follow. Well, it's about connecting. You know, I got to get out there on the sunrise. Yeah, you're worshiping the sun. Hello, the Bible clearly tells us not to do that. I don't even like to be up with the sunrise. But yet the church says that I'm an evil man if I stay up until early in the morning. Because, well, you know, only the demons and the devil's up real late at night. Well, somebody's got to be up to fight him, I guess. Which is falsehood, just so y'all know. It's a lie. We're going to get to that one, too. I'm going to nail the church. I'm nailing the church today. I don't preach at the sinners outside. I preach at the church inside. Because we need to know who we are. I don't worship a dead God who's blue. I don't worship Kali. I don't worship an obelisk. I got to thinking about that even this morning. I was like, okay, obelisk. Why is it every obelisk I know has something to do with death? The one uptown is about all the World War I vets who were killed. That died during World War I. Not all of them were killed in combat. The one in Washington, D.C. was put up years after Washington died, but it's there to memorialize him. And then what about all the ones in the cemeteries? I know. You're just getting picky, picky, picky. I want to be picky, 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 because God's going to get picky, picky, picky. And I don't want him coming down saying, well, you know, Art, you taught your people to come into the sanctuary, clear out all the chairs, a place where you come in and have communion with me, to worship me, and you taught them to come in and worship the devil. I don't care if the Robertsons do it. I don't care who your favorite teacher is that says, well, you need to try yoga and meditate. What do you meditate? Oh, no, you just clear your mind. No, you never clear your mind. There is something always going on inside your brain housing group. There are thoughts going through. Now, I've told you before, you know, and here's another aspect of it, because it's why they go outside. You got to go out there on the beach where it's calm and do your yoga and clear your mind. You know, I can clear my mind in a tree stand. Oh, now you're just talking about killing animals. I ain't killed a deer in I don't know how long. And if it was just about killing the animal, I'd have had several, but they'd have been illegal. Just because they were on somebody else's property. So, it's not about that. When I'm up in that tree stand, I'm sitting there. Do you know how many ferrets, mink, turkeys, possums? I've had squirrels crawl up the tree. Thank God we don't have bears, because I've seen that video, and me and the bear are not going to get along. But these squirrels will crawl up the tree and look right at me. As long as I don't move, I'm okay. So we have all that stuff. You can go, and I get to say, I said, Lord, thank you that I got to see that animal. One of them, I was sitting right on the ground with it and just watched this little mink run. It just did whatever it wanted. It was the coolest thing. It didn't know I was there. I get to talk to God. Nobody else, because you got to be quiet. I already hit the tiki stuff. And by the way, they just slide it in as, oh, it's art. Do you know what God told the children of Israel to do to every temple, every place of worship that the pagans had desecrated? You know, we'd think, what's a grove of trees hurting? God told them to cut them down and burn them. You destroy the altars where the worship took place. We dig them up. Oh, it's ancient art. God said no. It's worship of demons. And he had Israel destroy them. Any attempt to just connect with nature. There's a slight possibility my ancient ancestors worshipped sticks. They were druids, possibly. Don't know. I really hope that, based on the fact that my 5-great-grandfather was a deacon in the church, that they were actually Celtic Christians. But there's a possibility before him. How about transcendental meditation? You just got to go meditate, man. Just meditate. What do you meditate? Oh, you don't. You just empty your mind. Again, you never just empty your mind. Because your mind is always working. And if your mind isn't working, then somebody else is helping it. Because the devil will tell you thoughts. You know, some of the worst people I've ever been around are drunks and high people. They get so theological. I had a roommate. He was almost anti-Christ. But boy, he'd get a few beers in him, and he was Jimmy Swaggart. It's like, what happened? And that was the time in my life I was trying not to serve God. And I'm sitting there, and my other roommate said, he's a little uncomfortable. Just shut up. Quit talking about that. Why do you always got to start talking about God? And just nearly every stoner, I'm just going to throw it out there, every stoner that I've talked to has some deep philosophical thoughts, man. And that's how they usually bring it out to you. Hey, man, what if the world really is, you need to quit smoking the weed, dude. Do I believe that marijuana has a purpose? Yeah, but not smoking it. Releases something entirely different. I don't know. I'm not trying it. How about Ouija boards? Oh, we can't make them bad because they know that it's evil, but let's make it a game. How about your eight balls? Will I find love? Not today. Right? Crystal balls, tarot cards. Christians are seeking this stuff. Why are you seeking the occult? How about your horoscopes? Okay. Just making sure there were no daggers coming at me. How about horoscopes? My horoscope says I shouldn't go out today because it's going to be a bad, bad day. Thank you. It's a false prophecy. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Because that's where the person who wrote it got it. Oh, how about reading your stars, your tea leaves, the palms? Oh, look at that long, you got a long life. No, it just means my hand bends there. And they're almost identical, just opposites. That's all it means. Or how about we hold a ring or an egg over a pregnant woman's belly? Oh, you're having a girl. I've heard of the stuff being done in the church. Now, here's one I've seen, and I don't understand. There has to be a science with it, because the person I know did it does not practice the occult. But we call it witching water. I have no idea how it works, but I saw the man walking along, and then the water went, and there was water underneath him. Personally, I think there's science behind it, but I don't know the science. But that's what happens with overly religious people who don't understand science. Oh, you shouldn't be flying. If God meant us to fly, he'd have put wings on our backs. And then he shouldn't have created the Wilbur and Orville. He should have just said, you know what? We're not going to create you two. You're going to get people flying, man. And then they're going to think, oh, we can go into space. And then so much for the Tower of Babel, right? That was their purpose, to get as high to God as they could. Well, we got things in space, and no, the earth is not flat. And yes, space is real. As the body of Christ, we have to make sure we're not participating in any form of paganism. Oh, but we do this, we do that. You know what? I don't even participate in much of anything that has to do with ancient Jewish traditions. I'm not Jewish. Did y'all figure that out? I love my Jewish brothers and sisters. I love the Jews. I pray for them. But guess what? I also love the Arabs. I love the Indians. And I'm talking about the Hindu. I love the Chinese, the Japanese. I even love the Russians. Now, I did take a vow that said, if you want to try to hurt the people in my country, you got to go over my dead body first. So I love you, no matter what your nationality. We must pay attention. I will wrap up here. years ago when we bought our first house. Man, we were so excited. Anybody remember buying your first house? Man, we were just so excited. It's like, woohoo, I got a house. Nobody can just come and say, we want to give this to our cousin. Nope, my name's on that loan. We bought this house and, oh, I know they meant it well, but they did not use their brain. They did not use the Holy Spirit in this, because first off, they were in a position that I currently am in, and they gave us this thing called a blessing knot. It was a rope all twisted. It's called a Celtic blessing knot, but really cool. I can't deny it was cool, and you put it by your front door. Anybody ever seen them? I'm going to tell you what, the day we put that up, we were like, God, where'd the money go? All of our money, we had money. I didn't make beans hourly, but I worked so much overtime that I made twice what I normally did. And I'm like, suddenly the money dried up. God, we had enough money. Where'd all of our money go? And we were walking by, I walked by the door, and God said, right there's where your money's at. You're trusting in a false God. She reminded me who gave it to us, and I took it out in my driveway in town, and I lit a fire. I don't care what the fire ordinance was. I was burning that thing in my driveway, and being rope, it was hard to burn. So I had me a nice little fire right out there in my driveway, and I burned that stupid blessing knot. You know what took place? Blessing. Our life. I became self-employed within the year, started my business a few months later. We found out we were going to have Jesse. Life grabbed another gear. So if somebody tells you, oh, you'll hang this by your door, Sherry, it'll bring blessing. It ain't going to bring blessing. Y'all seen the Pennsylvania Dutch barns? Got the great big things painted on the ends of them. Aren't they beautiful? Those are to ward off evil spirits, by the way. You might as well get your wolf's bane and your garlic cloves and your holy water and your oak stakes and all that stuff, because it's all useless. I think they look really cool. I'm like, boy, I would look cool, but I ain't doing it. Because it was a way to ward off evil from burning down their barns. Which the truth of the matter is, Bob, if they just aerated their hay maybe a little better, let it dry, the barns wouldn't just... So, when it comes to stuff of the... You have to be careful. Ask the Holy Spirit. God, where did this come from? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's all coming back around. And you can ask our history teacher in the back about history. We should be learning from history, shouldn't we, Joe? Have we? We're repeating it. It's a cycle. We just keep repeating. Okay, so things change a little bit. We don't go around by horse and buggies yet. I'll just throw that out there for you. And according to the Amish, they may not be going around by horse and buggies much longer because they're getting expensive. And we don't throw grass on top of our houses for shingles. What about gas? What about heating?
We're going to go back like
Oh. Yeah, they're even hurting in that. They run too many little chainsaws and stuff. And then their other saws and their pumps. And like, why not just have an electric line ran to your house, personally? So, we just keep repeating it. Why does the church keep repeating what's going on? Because we forgot. We forgot that God said, destroy all of their artwork. It's false gods. I don't really want a cross. We got a couple in the house, apparently. Okay, so what? I understand what the church meant by it. But me... If you can find a really cool way to display the open, empty tomb other than a black hole,
But I think that's part of the mystique of God. He wanted us to represent him, not a black dot on a flag or a cross on a flag. He wanted all of us to represent him with our lives every day. All right, so I'm going to stop there. Some of y'all got some dinners. Some of you men got some dinners to take care of. I have no idea what I'm doing just yet, but hey. But know this again, ladies. And again, let me tell you something. We should celebrate our mothers and our fathers every day. Not just come to this day and all of a sudden, oh, you're so great, you're so great, you're so, and then tomorrow, you stupid. Just saying. All right, let's stand before I crawl into a very deep hole that I can't get out of, a very deep hole that it will take the Holy Spirit 3 days to get me out of. All right, and don't forget, ladies, mamas, come up here, get you a flower. We let you pick whichever one you want. There isn't, and yeah. Just do this. There you have it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for your word. Father, I thank you that you're even illuminating to us now. Father, not only things of maybe it was a pagan connection, but Father, things in our lives that we have put in front of you. Father, not that things can be or bad necessarily, but when they become in front of you, they are now evil. So Father, help us to revert and to change, to repent of this, Father, and move on with our lives and experience what your life is supposed, what you're meaning to have us. So, Father, I thank you for these people here today. I thank you for all the mamas. Again, bless them, Father. I bless these people today, Father. I pray, Lord, right now that you move in their lives. You help them with the struggles that they're facing. Father, you show them the ways out where there seems to be no way out. In Jesus' name, amen.